Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Caracas, in a country that was once rich but where people are beginning to starve, few animals are safe. One morning in August at the Metropolitan Zoo in the torrid city of Maracaibo, workers were shocked to find the bones of a buffalo and some wild pigs inside their cages with clear signs of mutilation. Thieves allegedly stole the meat to eat what they could, then sell the rest on the local market. In West Caracas at the Zoo of the Caracau District, the same sort of thing happened. Watchmen found the bones and offal of a black horse inside its enclosure. Apparently, the perpetrators...
Offal? How do you say offal?
O-F-F-A-L? Yeah. I've never seen that word before. I don't know what it is.
It's the guts.
Oh. And apparently, the perpetrators took only the edible parts of the animal. Venezuela's increasingly authoritarian president, Nicolas Maduro, knows people are going hungry in his country, but he doesn't know what to do about it. He keeps announcing new stopgap measures, but his words don't carry a lot of nutritional weight. And as we heard, one of the things the government is doing is bringing in, like, they're paying for food to be brought into the country. But, of course, whenever you put the government in charge of something, it inevitably is going to mismanage it. Every Saturday, Natalie wakes up earlier than the average Venezuelan. She dresses in a hurry, and whenever she can, she feeds something to her sons and daughters and tells them to wait patiently for her return. The kids, already used to this routine, wave from the improvised front door of their shanty, then look forward anxiously to what she might bring back. She then takes her four-wheel drive car, then a bus, then a train, from Antimano to Municipal Coche Market in South Caracas, where for the last 3.5 months, she's made her pilgrimage to dig through the garbage left by the vendors, trying to find a half-rotted vegetable, a piece of fruit, or, if luck is on her side, chicken skin to take back home and feed to her children. Can you imagine taking all of that time and effort to just go and pour over somebody else's garbage to get in your car at whatever cost that gasoline happens to be and whatever cost the time happens to be of getting all through these, you know, car ride, train ride, bus ride just to go and paw through some garbage? Things weren't always this difficult for Natalie and her family 5 years ago in Venezuela. The charismatic commander Hugo Chavez, president and leader of the so-called socialist revolution of the 21st century, distributed widely the abundant resources revenues produced by the Venezuela oil production. With the prices of the barrel of oil hovering around $100 back then, no Venezuelan could have predicted the hard times yet to come. That was when, together with her husband and 5 kids, Natalie decided to move to the capital, looking for some of those riches the socialist leader spread among the poorest. It says here, this is from thedailybeast.com, it was in this atmosphere of chaos and uncertainty, precisely, that Natalie's family was about to receive a new member and lose an old one. She was pregnant again. Her husband, an unemployed builder, could not withstand the pressure of feeding 6 kids, so he decided to abandon them. Now, with 6 kids and unable to work, Natalie had to make what she recalls was her hardest choice ever, to send her older son to work at the landfill in West Caracas. She says, "This is something that breaks my soul. I want my boy to go to school, to have a different future, but I cannot afford it. How can I buy a notebook? The oldest, he's a good kid. He helps me a lot. It's very painful to send him to dig in the garbage just to be able to eat." Sadly, the story's not unusual in today's Venezuela. The high inflation rates and food shortages that followed Chavez's death have made many basic products unaffordable for 80% of the nation that has been plunged into poverty. In the capital, it's common to bump into individuals and even families that, like Natalie's, live on garbage. Around Sabana Grande Boulevard, many families with kids watch avidly over the piles of garbage outside of restaurants, waiting for the leftovers. Some of these families are not homeless, and some even have jobs, but their incomes aren't enough to eat.
Who's eating at these restaurants?
I don't know. There's obviously still some rich people left around, right? Or maybe tourists?
And food is getting distributed to them, interestingly, I guess.
Right next to a dumpster outside of a shopping mall, 4 families wait in the afternoon for the moment when the restaurant owners take out the leftovers. 3 mothers, 7 kids, and 28-year-old Luis Miguel, the only man, eagerly search the container every day, hoping to find something good to eat or to sell. When Luis Miguel talks, you can see the shame his condition causes him, but at the same time, the stoicism he has assumed in his determination to feed his children. He says, quote, I used to work in the Metro Cable in San Agustin, which is a cable car service. With my salary, he says, I was able to buy enough food for my family, and I even dreamed about building a proper house for us. But then it seems like things went crazy. I got fired, and the little money I earned doing small jobs wasn't enough to feed my family, so I started doing this. He says, in the beginning, it was just 2 days a week, but lately things have gotten so rough that I decided to stay here the whole time. It's his job to sit outside of a dumpster all day long so he can get some food for his family. That's his
new job.
That's his life. Well, I don't imagine there's a lot of places hiring.
Yeah, this is what an efficiency in a marketplace looks like.
The story is from TheBlaze.com. If it weren't for a good guy with a gun, more lives could have been lost on Sunday when a gunman opened fire in a small church in Texas. According to law enforcement officials, local Sutherland Springs, Texas resident confronted 26-year-old Devin Patrick Kelly after he opened fire on parishioners in the town's First Baptist Church. CNN reported that when Kelly opened fire on the church with a semi-automatic AR-15 rifle, a local resident grabbed his own rifle and engaged Kelly.
Also an AR, from what I understand.
Causing him to stop firing on the church, get into a vehicle, and run. From there, a chase ensued, and Kelly ended up dead. It wasn't clear at the time of this writing, and I don't know if it's been cleared up since then, if it was the resident who shot Kelly or if he died from a self-inflicted gunshot.
As I understand it, it was the resident.
The resident who engaged Kelly ran into a man's truck to chase him. That man, Johnny Langendorf, told his story to a local news station. He told KSAT-TV that he saw the unnamed resident engaging in fire with Kelly. That's when the resident ran to his truck and they began chasing Kelly. All the while, they were communicating with dispatchers. Langendorf said the chase reached speeds of up to 95 miles an hour before Kelly lost control of his vehicle and crashed. Langendorf said the unnamed resident then held Kelly at gunpoint. Sometime after the crash is when Kelly died, though it is not clear when.
The difficulty with the United States and gun control is that, first, you have to get rid of that pesky Second Amendment, which just isn't going to be possible. So you live in a fantasy land. If getting rid of guns is important to you, there is a whole bunch of the globe that you can go to.
Pretty much every other country.
Some places safer, some places not. You know, it's really across the board. Secondly, there are 600 million guns. That's one estimate that's out there. Mm-hmm. Some say more than 300 million, but very
one for each person.
Yeah, very few people will tell you that there are fewer than a gun for every person in America. So there are a lot of guns. How are you going to get rid of them? You can legislate against them, but you first have to change the hearts and minds of the gun lovers out there. Because those people have those things buried in their backyards.
Yeah, they love guns.
They love them. And they believe that they keep them safer. Okay, so if you getting on Facebook and ranting and calling somebody stupid for their belief that a gun's going to keep them safe, not an effective communication tool.
Especially if the person has actually lived through a situation where the gun has kept them or their family members safe.
Right.
Has scared off a criminal or something.
How is that going to work? How are you going to convince a person that's managed to scare off a criminal, stop a crime with a gun? That's going to be very difficult.
Sure.
That doesn't happen because it's fictional.
I've got an update on a case that we've been following probably more off than on, just simply because a lot of stuff we rely on you guys to let us know what's going on. I just happened to see this on the social medias there during the top of the hour. It's about New Jersey Weed Man. New Jersey Weed Man. Now,
he's been on the show quite a few times.
He's been on the show a few times. He is a great activist on the cannabis front, and has made a real name for himself out there for doing what it takes to keep the idea of legalization and, ending criminal penalties for cannabis possession in the limelight, into the public discussion arena. And he, of course, has been targeted and punished for that. And the most recent targeting was earlier, it must have been earlier this year, when his businesses were raided in Trenton, New Jersey. He had set up a church, and then next to that there was a restaurant that he'd put up, and the cops came in and they raided the place and they arrested him and they arrested his associates, and they've just been targeting him and trying to attack him. Now, he had opened up his restaurant right across the street from, I believe, City Hall or police department. So I gotta love the guys.
He wasn't hiding.
He's got some huevos, and I love him. And he took the stand on Wednesday. Apparently, his trial has been happening with a witness tampering case. which has now come to a close. The judge, Anthony Massey, had to repeatedly tell Fortune he could not direct Campbell while on the witness stand. He once mumbled, "Ask a follow-up question," to Campbell. Assistant Mercer County Prosecutor Stephanie Katz questioned Fortune about comments he made in a Facebook video in which he says if the judge signed the protective order, he's going to ignore it. Fortune said that it was locker room talk and bravado. Katz also questioned Fortune on the multiple letters and packages he sent to the witness's family and had prepared to send to the witness's neighbors. Fortune admitted he didn't know any members of the witness's family and had never met them before, but said he sent the letters because he was trying to serve the witness with a lawsuit. Fortune was the only witness for the defense due to the fact that he did not file proper witness discovery before the trial started.
Yeah, this will be a completely fair trial.
Fortune said during his closing statements, quote, basically it comes down to a couple pieces of mail. I never once said I didn't want him to come to court. I wanted him to come to court yesterday. I wanted him to come to court today, he said of the witness who has not been identified and did not testify at the trial. Fortune told the jury it was true that he made postings on social media about the witness and that he sent mail to the witness's family members. He said that although he called the witness names and was rude, that didn't make him guilty of a crime and that the language he used is protected under the First Amendment. Johnson, let's change gears here. You had a story out of the UK about high schools that are actually installing cams in the bathrooms.
Yeah, it seems that that is what is going on, and it's a lot of, it has people very extremely perturbed, sort of running out of the schools.
Running out?
Well, there are girls that are terrified to go into the bathroom, boys that are terrified to go into the bathroom, because they're afraid that they're being spied on, while they're kids and they want to go. And
I think a lot of people would be disturbed by
kids in particular. If you're going, you just want to go to school and you're there, you're trapped in this prison all day long.
Sure.
And you just need to go to the bathroom and they feel like they can't even do that. So the article here starts off talking about Windsor Charter Academy in Colorado is under fire by parents of students.
I thought this was the UK. So it came from a UK source, but it's actually Colorado?
I believe so. Activist Post. I actually did think that this was in the UK, but apparently it's the United States.
All right.
Which is insane. It's doubly insane, I think.
Well, this sounds like a private school. Windsor Academy?
Yep. Charter Academy.
Charter
Academy in Colorado. Under fire by parents of students for its decision to install cameras in its high school bathrooms. KDVR Fox reported. It says here, we had surveillance cameras in our plans from the very start. It was part of the design of the new wing, Teeple said. We want to make sure our students are safe and secure. Parents are up in arms about the decision, which they said violates the students' rights to privacy. You don't have any rights.
Nope, not in a government school. They taught me this when I was actually in school. And I remember being upset. There was some sort of thing where I got called to the principal's office. And that happened more than a few times. But at one of those times, I remember asking about, well, what about the right to free speech? I forget what the issue at hand was. And I was just told flat out, you don't have those rights here.
Mm.
And it's true. Because a lot of them sign their rights away when they start the school year. They're given the parent-student handbook. And both the parent and the student, I believe, are supposed to sign those things. I don't remember that when
You're only signing it to acknowledge what's in it. You're not signing away your right to free speech.
How do you know that?
It wouldn't make. Are you telling me that if I show up to school and they forget to have my have me sign the student handbook, that suddenly I have free speech? Don't be ridiculous.
I see what you're saying.
They operate the school the way they operate the school. You've been given the rules on how the school operates. The school doesn't have free speech because it is incompatible with education.
The way they do education.
No, you can't stand. Okay, Ian, I'm up front. Teaching geometry,
yeah.
And
that's the way they do education.
Autistic kid.
There are other places
in the front
where
seat.
They don't do that.
It's incompatible with education as they understand education.
As they understand,
fine.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with the idea of cameras in a business to protect a business from whatever bad things might happen. In the case of schools, bad things do happen at schools. People are victimized on school property, and I'm not just talking about the students being victimized by the teachers, but students frequently victimizing one another. Bullying is not, when we were all growing up, bullying was a thing. Some of us may have been bullied. Some of us may have been the bully. Some of us may have done both. of those things in our lives. And if somebody's getting beaten up in the bathroom, then it kind of makes sense to have some video footage of that. I don't know. I don't feel real strongly against this particular policy, because you can still have your privacy in the stall, right? But Johnson, was there more that you wanted to share from the story?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So just to recap, this guy, Garrett, says, my gut reaction is I'm a father. I want to protect my children, and I'm going to protect any kids in here. Garrett said, I think that when we sacrifice privacy for the sake of safety, it's a very slippery slope. At what point does it cross that threshold and violate rights? I think in this situation, this violates rights, Garrett added. Garrett's daughter echoed his statement, saying, it makes me really uncomfortable going in there. Teeples further added that only school administration and the IT team will have access to the footage. And if that makes it any better...
Don't worry, there's no creepers whatsoever in school administration or the IT teams. We swear.
A secondary school at Summerhill School in Kingswinford, West Midlands, UK, is rethinking a decision to install CCTV cameras after students complained that they are scared to go into the bathroom. Although, in this case, the cameras are quite literally on the urinals in the boys' bathroom.
That's a little different.
Yeah. Whoever had this idea and thought that it was okay should be investigated. And then again, this is the beginning of the article. One mother told the Birmingham Mail, my children have refused to go to the toilet in school. They feel like they are being watched. They said, can we ring you to take us home to use the toilet? Some are saying it's... Why don't you just break the cameras, kids?
Well, you know, they're going to get in trouble if they do that.
Some are saying, I mean, get in trouble. I mean, but...
they'll just put more cameras in.
Do from the side.
They'll put more cameras in and
raise
will...
the cost. Good. Make each camera cost $1 million because you've broken thousands of them.
Yeah, I wonder... You know, of course, I find myself wondering where in relation to the urinals. I mean, they said they're in the front. Does that mean they're pointing... Like, are we getting the view of the, you know, the child that's using the urinal and sort of their face as they're using it?
I guess so, yeah.
Or, you know, what is that? They're... I mean,
what do you need the picture of the? What do you need the child's face at the urinal for?
I don't know. It's
John
weird.
Thomas.
I don't know.
It's okay. The creepiest of these. That's pretty creepy. Is the school that was sending kids home with the laptops and then checking in on the cameras?
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Mark, you've got something that's even more critical as far as the health of individuals. Some people are possibly going to be denied certain surgeries, right, over in the UK?
Yep. Two issues are the cause of a plethora of diseases and health conditions affecting people worldwide: smoking and obesity.
No doubt about it.
One local health committee in the UK has announced a controversial policy to support patients whose health is at risk from smoking or being very overweight. For an indefinite amount of time, it plans to ban access to routine or non-urgent surgery under the National Health Service until patients improve their health. The policy states, claiming that exceptional clinical circumstances will be taken into account on a case-by-case basis. The decision comes from the Clinical Commissioning group known as the CCG for the county of I don't have any idea where these places are, Hertfordshire, which is a population of 1.1 million. The time frame for improving health is set at 9 months for the obese. In particular, those with a body mass index over 40 must reduce the number by 15% over the period of 9 months, and those with a BMI over 30 are given a target of 10% over 9 months.
Okay.
The target for smokers is 8 weeks or more without a cigarette, with a breath test to prove it.
It's not junk science to say that smoking is bad for you,
right? No, but red meat certainly, you know, the arguments against meat get a little shiftier. But I can assure you that the militant vegans will be moving into those bureaucratic positions that control the diet of Americans.
I go with the Demolition Man theory. It's smoking, then red meat, then salt, then bad language.
Wait, was that Demolition Man?
Yeah.
Okay. The guy down in the sewers or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Because it's also like the trailer for Escape from L.A. as well. Oh, yeah. That's in there,
There's
too.
A lot of stuff like that in both of those movies, yeah.
Which they both came out at about the same time, 1994, 1995, 1996.
So if you ever think that it would be great if the government handled healthcare because it's gotten so expensive, A, it's expensive because the government was handling healthcare in the first place. Before the implementation of Obamacare, the government controlled 2 out of every 3 cents spent in healthcare.
Okay, I'm going to play a devil's advocate here and take on the other side of this. But Mark, this is clearly what we need, right? There is this is a reason for centralized healthcare because now there's an incentive for these overweight people, for these smokers, to actually go ahead and clean up their act.
Why didn't we do that with insurance in the first place? Why didn't we let insurance companies decide that they wanted to create special groups for fat people?
I heard that Jersey got a new governor.
Oh, is that right?
Ralph Noel.
What?
New Jersey has a new Democratic governor. Ralph's going to be moving, I hear.
Oh, okay. Ralph, our caller.
I think he should move to Ohio, personally. I think he should forget about the South. And that brings me to tonight's topic. Okay. I went out and voted today.
Hey, congratulations.
Yes, very important. We're creating, we're at the beginnings of a constitutional amendment out here. We're going to get rid of school taxes, left to the county, though.
Did your vote matter?
Yep, but I can tell you this, I'm an insider now. You're going to love this. I went to go vote. Yeah, it mattered in my district. Let's see here.
It passed by one vote? It passed or failed by one vote?
No, we're creating a constitutional amendment. It takes 2.5 years, brother.
All right,
but now get this.
Just to be clear, it only matters if it passes or fails by one vote.
Well, I'm having trouble hearing you on the phone line. What was that, brother?
No, go right ahead. Ramble on.
No. Yeah, okay, because I went out and voted today, and I can tell you this, and I'm on good information. My district, the constable, keep waving that flag, brother. The judge, I talked to the judge that day, Commonwealth judge. We had a nice little talk. She loves the flag, too.
So in Pennsylvania, the judges are elected positions, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
But all this judge, the judge in this case, the magistrate, wasn't actually running for office, or was she?
No, she's in office. Uh-huh. She's in office.
And she's there to judge what exactly? What is the magistrate's role at a polling location?
The reason why she was there, and I know why she was there, because the people out front, they gave me trouble. I wanted to talk to them, and they said, "You just want to start trouble with us."
Well, what does a judge have to do with that? I don't. You're not making a connection here. Is anybody else here in the studio understanding what this is about?
I have no idea.
We're talking about the new dumb phone. And there's a Guardian article about this punked thing. So even if it is a joke, Johnson, they appear to really actually be selling this thing. Like it's an actual product where you can pay. If for some reason you are just insane, you can pay $295 for one of these dumb phones.
Punked.
Yeah. There's another phone that they mention in this article called the Light Phone, but that's not really a phone. It's an accessory for your smartphone. That's supposed to, if you've got the mental fortitude to be able to not use your smartphone, then why would you want to buy another piece to a smartphone? Why not just get the straight up dumb phone and use that thing? Or if you want to save some money and have basically a dumb phone, just wipe everything off of a cheap smartphone. Go get one of those.
I sure do hate having a computer and, all the information of the world at my fingertips. Carrying around with me at all times. It sure is horrible. What a terrible future we have succumbed to.
Well, I can say this. The touchscreen is it's not very responsive. You don't know what you're hitting. Like, you don't know if you hit a 1 or a 2 when you're dialing.
Yeah.
So if people are dialing while they're driving or something like that, and, I'm sure this happens, you know, a dumb phone is going to be a safer thing to have at that point.
That's true. Especially when you got to hit a zillion keys just to open the phone.
Right.
Darren Zagadlo, the creator of OneCutReviews.com, says, quote, "I think there's a lot to be said for a product that makes you nostalgic." He says, "We've hit a point where we can pretty much do everything with these phones, and I think some people are finding themselves saying, what do I need all that for?" And I don't agree. I don't think you can do everything with smartphones. In fact, I find using them to be, clumsy in a lot of cases. Yeah, you can do a lot with them, but I can do a heck of a lot more with a laptop in front of me. You know, switching between programs, copying, pasting, everything's faster when you use a laptop or a desktop computer. And, you know, phones just are a slow way of doing things. But I got to agree, they are an important tool to have, especially if you want to have encrypted communications. Or at least purportedly encrypted communications. Signal, for instance, has come under fire recently. Whenever I ended up interviewing that guy at the Texas Bitcoin conference, there was some guy there who was going to trash talk Signal, and we wanted to get him, but we never ended up getting him back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with conventions. People show up at funny times expecting you to do the interview.
And most of the time we can, but in that case, we weren't able to. So I was curious to hear about what that was all about. But with a dumb phone, you can send a text, but that's all going to be in the clear, right? So the phone company that you have is going to be able to read every single text that you send if you have one of these dumb phones.
I found out that we're going to have four cameras, each intersection and every ART stop on the rapid transit.
Four cameras per stop.
What is ART?
This is a new rapid transit that is being built in Albuquerque.
A bus?
It's a special bus a special lane just for the special bus.
Okay.
Yes. So it definitely will be for pedestrian and bicycle safety. It definitely will be because at the intersection, if they hit a pedestrian and run off, it's going to be in real time. You know, they'll be filmed. So they will be caught. So it's not there to give out tickets, but it's there for surveillance.
So you're happy about this. You want to see a larger surveillance state. You want to see more government cameras at more intersections and every bus stop everywhere.
Well, especially that central, because
what about putting cameras into people's homes? I mean, there's a lot of domestic abuse that goes on in America, and if you could have government cameras in every room of somebody's home, that would really help keep domestic abuse victims safe, wouldn't it, Sarah?
Well, you know what? That's a private place.
I called in to provide a little bit of defense for Scott from Massachusetts who called earlier.
Scott the bigot. Not many people want to come to his defense. What do you have to say?
Well, the thing is, Ian, he calls in, and I don't feel like he's very good at coherently making his point, but there is something to be said about the whole, you know, communist sort of like takeover that isn't happening explicitly in front of our eyes, but that what he didn't bring up, instead he should not have talked about the Jews, but he should have instead talked about the concept of Soviet subversion, where back in the 1960s and 70s, people who worked for the KGB were trying to not, instead of fighting a war with like weapons and guns, you know, that was all over. It was about taking a battering ram and ramming the pillars of people's culture until they would collapse and then could be subsequently replaced by communism.
This is cultural Marxism.
Yes.
If a bunch of people come into a place and say, hey, we want this place to be more free, and then they try to go and get elected so they can try to get the place to be more free, well, the people who don't like freedom are going to go ahead and do everything they can to fight against it tooth and nail. They're going to get dirty. They're going to get nasty, just, you know, what you would expect from the political process and politicians. But yeah, so some people love the Free Staters. They love the libertarians that are coming in here. Others hate them.
4,500 people have signed up as Friends of the Free State Project who are in-staters.
New Hampshire folks.
Yeah, New Hampshire folks have signed up as in-state, Friends of the Free State Project. But, at the same time, it's certainly activated a few people who are against the Free Staters, and then a lot of people just complain.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.